Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
You're so old.
So old.
You're so old.
You're old.
You're old.
You thought we wouldn't come back, but we did.
Whether they like it or not.
Well, we kind of hang around here. We've been around here since 95. It's not easy to get rid of us.
I wish it was.
Brian Sexton, along with John Osier, the senior writer, the senior correspondent for a little segment we call Senior Moments, wrapping up the first week of OTAs. And, you know, we laid it out pretty good for people earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put too much into this. Don't read and react. And didn't Doug give us the soundbite on Tuesday?
And again on Friday.
Yeah.
So sure.
Although, you had to kind of watch some things today and go, wow, they have a long ways to go.
Yeah, and that was Doug's point when he spoke to the media right afterward. You know, he was not, I would say not happy. He wasn't mad about it, but he was very upfront about we got a long way to go. I think his message was, I'm not going to sit up here and tell you guys it was awesome. Clearly, there are things that he wants to see better.
I think his message was, I'm not going to sell a lot of BS.
Right.
By the way, I found him remarkably candid and refreshingly so today.
Yeah, and again, I think part of it, too, is clearly, he said, we won three games last year. His whole thing is win now. I don't think if they'd just lit it up, he was going to come in after the first week and go, hey, let's put candles on the cake and have a party. I mean, that's not going to be his MO. But, you know, I think he's realistic about it. He knows that there's a lot of work to be done in the next 3 weeks to even get ready for training camp.
All right. So, again, we only saw the first 25 minutes on Tuesday and Thursday. We saw the whole thing today, and everyone who's listening wants to know, what'd you think of Blake?
Okay. You know, I wasn't dazzled, but I said I was doing the Mike Dempsey show on 1010 earlier today. I guess I don't expect, after 3 years of watching Blake, I don't expect to walk out of a practice with Blake Bortles and have seen 100 balls not hit the ground. You know, he's going to be a little all over the place at times. I think it's just going to be his MO. He was like that in 2015 when he had a good year. He was like that in 2016 when he didn't. I think practice, it's not going to look beautiful all the time in practice.
Does it have to, though? I mean, does it? But
that's my point. I don't think
team,
it does.
Ever? You don't think by the time we get to, you know, week one that practice has to be a thing of beauty, artistic in nature?
Should it be?
Should
it be? I guess, but I think you're not going to have that because since day one, and again, I always go back to 2015 when he had a good enough year. If he has the kind of year this year in 2015, you can put pieces around that and you can go compete. So I think that's what you're looking for. So I just don't expect, boy, absolute crisp timing precision. And maybe that's, you know, maybe that's on me. Maybe I should expect that. But
I saw a couple
that.
Of throws that I liked from him
sure.
today. I mean, a couple that I went, wow, okay.
Yeah, he had
some
one.
Velocity.
He had Marquise Lee. I won't give away this, you know, the farm, but he hit Marquise on a nice pass. Had a couple that were good and had a couple that weren't. So that's, you know, that's what it was.
I saw, again, it's the third OTA, but I saw some time where it looked as if he was accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've harped on that for the last 2 years. He's not an accurate passer, but some of the things he did. Now, he threw one behind Marquise that got tipped up and intercepted by Miles Jack. And so, I mean, he was not spectacular by any stretch of the imagination. And nor should you expect that he will be spectacular. But I guess next week we can talk about whether he's better or not.
Right? Well, I always go back to this. I've said since last season ended, and even during last season, I don't expect Blake to ever be the 75% accuracy guy who's going to have a timing precision thing to his game. The ball is not going to come out. And it's not going to be seven straight passes where it's click, 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 click. You know, that's just not – he's a big play guy, play action guy. He's going to make some big plays. I guess that doesn't concern me even within the context of last year when the topic was always about his accuracy. That doesn't concern me as much even last year as the decision-making and the key interceptions. So to me, if he cuts the thing we just talked about, the big mistakes and the interceptions out of his game, I think he can get by not being the click, click, click precision guy. You've had guys who've succeeded doing that before. He just needs to reduce the mistakes, make better decisions. That's where we won't know until the lights come on, until the pads go on.
Another thing that we probably won't know much about, but our expectations are high, is Leonard Fournette, who talked to the media afterwards, and he said, it didn't take me long to figure out this isn't the SEC. And the SEC is obviously really, really good. The one thing you notice about him, next to the other backs, T.J. Yeldon, Chris Ivory.
That guy.
I was thinking Tyrone Wheatley, but that's the coach. If you were going to pick one, it's him.
He looks the part.
The way he walks, his body composition.
Well, there are guys, and you know this, you've seen it, you know, top 10, top 5 picks. Generally speaking, they look like top 5 picks. You can see why they're top 5 picks. Physically, you know, you have to check every box usually to get in the top 5 because the scouting process is designed to take points off. Well, Leonard Fournette's a guy who, when you look at him physically, not many points get taken off. So, much like Jalen Ramsey last year. When Jalen Ramsey was walking around here, even last year during OTAs when he wasn't participating because of the knee, when he walked around, he looked different. You know, you looked at him and went, wow, it's a cornerback? Cornerback, you know. And you realize that physically this was a different cat. Now, physically being a different cat doesn't make you a great football player necessarily, but it doesn't hurt.
Thoughts from the week in general, Miles Jack said all the right things.
Yeah.
When he spoke to the media yesterday about playing in the middle.
Yeah, and
no surprise, by the way, that he said he was leaning on Puz. I thought what was interesting was he said Puz is leaning on him.
Yeah, and
because he's making the move to his old spot.
Yeah, I wonder how much. I'm sure Puz is asking him, hey, what do you do here? But, you know, here's a curious thing to me. I get emails all the time, Brian, people concerned about Paul Posluszny making the switch. I guess, first of all, I don't think the position will overwhelm him. I think physically he'll be fine at the position, and I guess I have confidence that he'll make the switch because he's such a pro and will do it. I think the X factor throughout all this is going to be how quickly can Miles Jack make middle linebacker, that's what I'm looking for, the conversation flow from the coaching box to his teammates.
So seamless is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, how quickly can that be second nature? Because with Paul, it was second nature on the field, you know, and I think his teammates knew that when he called the defense, whether it was right or wrong, they believed it was the right one. You know, there was that level of confidence and that level of trust that they weren't going to the line wondering, I wonder if that's the right defense to call in this situation. So is Miles going to be at that point of that level of trust, of that confidence? You know, he needs to get there as quickly as he can because it's an important position.
But he doesn't have to be there right away because he's got Posluszny right next to him.
Yeah, but I don't think Paul in the first game of the season is going to be overruling Miles Jack, who's in the middle. You know, so he still has to get to that point. Yes, he can lean on him a little bit, but it still has to be your defense. It has to be a case where you can quickly look over at Telvin and go, hey, two steps back, you know, or whatever it takes on that front. Paul could do that, and they look to him almost instinctively to do it. That's what, you know, and again, what I'm talking about here is some minutia.
Yeah.
There doesn't seem to be any question on Paul's part or on Miles Jack's part that Miles Jack is equipped physically, mentally, everything to play this position. It's just a matter of how long it takes.
Well, if people who are listening to this want any historical analogy to it, I remember when Maurice Jones-Drew was a rookie and Fred Taylor was the Sage veteran. And no matter what question was asked of Mo, he had a big game in Indy early in the season. So always deferred to Fred. Fred. He was learning from Fred, mm-hmm. and he was on Fred's hip for 2 years. I mean, without fail. And so as I listened to Miles mm-hmm. and watched him today when we had the extended opportunity to watch practice, it was pretty clear to me that there's a Maurice Jones-Drew, Fred Taylor thing going. It's a bit different because you're not playing the exact same position, and one has really given up his spot. I mean,
no question.
Anybody else other than Posluszny, you might not have this. You might have just moved him on and said, hey, go find another team. We'll find another backer. But because he is Paul Posluszny, which is to say one of the most professional players mm-hmm. I've ever seen, and in this locker room, to be sure, you can do it. It's going to be an interesting dynamic, I think, to watch as they go through the year. And I agree you don't want Paul overruling Miles.
Right.
But I do think you may have Paul saying, hey, don't forget this, don't forget that.
Right, and that's important to have. I thought it was interesting when Miles was talking about it, how he said, when Paul approached him about it, or Miles approached, whichever approached who, right after the fact, it was very much a, hey, if this is going to make us better, let's go do it. And I wasn't present at the conversation, but you could sort of see Paul going, hey, don't worry about all the other stuff. If this is going to make it us better, let's go do it. Let's get it done. Let's not waste time talking about the emotions of it, or whether I like it, or whether it's, you know. So you would have expected that, but it certainly seems like, as expected, Paul went above and beyond on that front, again, as you'd expect him to.
Uneventful week.
Yeah, and that's good, because what you don't want this time of year, knock on wood or whatever we're knocking on, formica.
Is it, yeah, I think it's a formica cover.
It's not granite.
No, that would hurt your knuckles.
You don't want the news to be that guys are going off the field injured. So as long as you don't have that this time of year. But
even Jalen Ramsey's not in camp the first day.
Right.
And it wasn't really a story. I mean, Doug stood up and said, hey, didn't call me.
I think
not here.
Doug would have rather had a phone call, beforehand.
But it didn't blow up like things can in today's media environment.
Right. And that's really the spirit. If the media and the league has grown anything over the last 20 years since I've been in the business, out of proportion, it is these 3 weeks of OTAs. We have gotten to the point where we report them. They're on NFL Network. They're on ESPN. Odell Beckham missed one. Back when we were covering the Jaguars first time around, I'm not even sure I knew what was good. Are they practicing today? Are they not? Are they whatever?
And they weren't open.
They weren't open. There wasn't even a hint of it. It wasn't an issue. It was, okay, this is voluntary. So if guys showed up for 7 out of 10, pretty good.
Yeah.
Good percentage, batting 70. So I get why it's become a thing, but it's a thing that's not really a thing come August. It's great that they're here, and I do agree with Doug in terms of this team right now. All the guys that are here on the days that they're here, they need to be working to be ready for what's coming in July. That needs to be the theme of, okay, we've got work to do so that we can be ready when it's time to do the work that really counts.
Time for silly seniors here on Senior Moments. Right. You ready for a little of this?
Sure, why not?
Just saw a tweet. It said, players get to shake their asses again, and it's a good thing. And it's a story about the owners this week dramatically relaxing the rules about celebration.
Finally.
As a guy who grew up watching the Fun Bunch, right?
The
Redskins.
I say, as a guy who likes to shake his...
twerking is not allowed.
Right.
You're going to have to sit in the press box. The question, though, is it a good thing? Are you excited about it?
It's fine. I mean, I always thought it was a bit silly when the league would penalize guys for celebrating, and all of a sudden it's a thing. It's okay. Ocho Cinco is over there with the pen, or whoever had the pen, the popcorn, all that. And people were getting mad about it. The league was coming down on it.
It was Terrell Owens, by the way. And I loved when he signed the ball.
All of it was great.
It gave you...
Joe Horn did the cell phone, remember?
Absolutely.
I think that was Joe Horn.
Yep.
Why not? And
it's entertainment.
I think it's possible to draw a pretty clear line between taunting and celebrating.
Right.
I don't think you have to be a genius to figure out that line. If it's directed at somebody and it's malignant, then I think, the league likes to take judgment out of the equation on everything. They like to take judgment out of the equation on officiating, especially out of the officiating hands. Anything with officiating, they'd rather have just a cut and dry rule. But the league can figure out if something's malicious or not. When back in the day when Fred did the slash throw thing and got fined,
that was because Fred didn't know what else to do.
Right. I wasn't sure if it'd even be fine. But if they did, if they don't want that sort of thing, then fine. But if guys are having fun, the Fun Bunch, and it seems like the Rams did something along those lines for a while. If you're having fun, I'm not sure what's wrong with that.
Nothing's wrong with it.
I never have.
That's why they're bringing it back.
Right.
I know. I'll watch.
Yeah.
Right? I'll watch. And I'll be looking for that line. Right?
Right.
Taunting is one side of it. Anything overtly offensive, which is all of a sudden where you bring in a whole kaleidoscope of, well, I think this is offensive. Well, I think that's offensive.
I think
right?
You can keep that. I mean,
you can keep the fun.
And if you can't, I just don't know that it's that big of a... I think the negative of taking it away outweighs the positive of preventing whatever you're trying to prevent.
Well, they're trying to increase the people who come to the games. Not that they're going to come for touchdown celebrations,
right.
But if you're having more fun,
right,
and your team is scoring touchdowns and you're wondering
right.
what's next, or you want to see the Fun Bunch.
Yeah. And I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
I also think some of it is, celebrations are fun, cool. My son's 20, you know, so he's in that range of 17 to 25-year-olds. They're an easy thing to go viral. You know, it's easy to do a clip on TV and to put out a cool celebration viral. I can easily foresee me sitting on the couch watching a game with my son and him looking at his phone and going, hey, look at this celebration the Rams just did.
Yeah.
That's tight or whatever.
Absolutely.
Whatever cool phrase.
Savage. That's savage. Savage, Dad. Yeah. Or here's one. That's so fire, Dad.
Gnarly. I remember when I was a kid, yeah. It was gnarly. Yeah.
But I remember one from the Dead Milkmen, Bitch and Camaro.
Right. So you're looking for something. I think that is a positive. Anything you can do to sort of have people sharing
right. And
be alive in that world that I'm too old to really be a part of, but my son's not too old to be a part of.
Television ratings dip last year, just saying, make it more fun,
right. Give
people more reason to watch.
And those are easy social things.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if that's the major reason for doing it, but I can see that being a huge positive is the 5-second click meme or whatever it is, the GIFs.
Yeah.
I could see that being a huge thing.
Any other huge positives in your Memorial Day weekend?
Oh, just family time. You know me and family. Just love
it. I was going to say, it'll be over by Tuesday. Right?
No, it'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, we got 3 more weeks of this, and let's figure out if we can figure out something about this team.
All right. And we'll try to figure it out again next week.
Look forward to it.
Senior Moments with senior writer John Osier. I'm Brian Sexton. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, everybody.